You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. We're joined by Tom Popick. Tom is the chairman of an absolutely indispensable organization, the Foundation for Resilient Societies. I have learned so much from Tom and his colleagues at the foundation about the vulnerabilities of our electric grid, the challenges involved in trying to remediate them, and in particular, the extraordinary efforts that he and his colleagues have made to hold regulators and industry accountable for those vulnerabilities needlessly being perpetuated. We happen to have caught up with Tom in the wake of an incident that calls to mind afresh some of those vulnerabilities, specifically in the cyber domain, and we'll be talking with him about it in this segment. Tom Popick, a happy new year to you, my friend. It's so good to have you back. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Frank. I'm happy to be here.
Well, what brings us together, unhappily, is evidence that we have. The Russians have been seeking to get into our electric grid. This is not news to you, and it may not be to others in this informed audience. But, Tom, talk a little bit about this latest episode involving a utility up in Burlington, Vermont. What do we know, and what does it suggest is going on with the Russians?
What we know is the public statement of Burlington Electric. Burlington Electric did a scan for malware on their systems late last week, and on one of their laptops, they did detect malware and reported it to the federal authorities. I should say that the detection of malware and the presence of malware in electric utility systems, whether the systems are part of what's called operational technology, which runs the grid, or information technology, which is used for more business purposes, that's nothing new. These attacks, I'll call them attacks, although some people just prefer to think of them as malware insertions, have been going on for many years. The one that was detected in Vermont initially was detected in 2011, and there was a rash of those kind of malware infections in 2014.
Tom Popick is our guest. We're talking about a series of cyber incidents over the years, including involving this utility up in Burlington, Vermont, apparently. Tom, why is it that we would still be vulnerable to this sort of malware intrusion?
There's really a whole raft of reasons. First of all, it can be hard to detect malware, especially if the signature hasn't been widely reported and recognized as malware. Second of all, it can be very difficult to remove malware. You might have to bring down, or the utility might have to bring down an operational system, wipe the disks clean, reinstall applications, reinstall firmware, or alternatively have a specially designed malware removal tool. That's a pretty complicated process. So that's operationally why it's difficult. But there's also a regulation aspect to it, which is there is no regulation currently that requires utilities to look for malware, to report malware, and to remove malware. And that's really been holding back progress in protecting the U.S. grid.
And particularly, what you do so importantly at the Foundation for Resilient Societies, Tom Popick, is expose whatever standards are that are being promulgated by the North American Electric Reliability Corporation or the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission or both, and how inadequate they are. And I guess this is a place where you'd say evidence of that shortfall is abundant. Is that right?
Well, I think abundant would be putting it mildly. Let me tell you how many so-called cybersecurity incidents were reported by the North American Electric Reliability Corporation in all of 2014, and it was just three. For 2015, the number was zero.
Zero.
So we have
this. Guess it's not a problem.
Big disconnect.
Huh?
Yeah, we have a disconnect where we know that there's many, many infections of malware at electric utilities. Again, whether it's in the business systems or it's in the operational systems. But we also know that the number of reported incidents is trivial. If you look at another reporting channel, which is the Department of Homeland Security, there's dozens of incidents that are reported each year in the energy sector. Unfortunately, they don't break out the energy sector between electric utilities and other energy-related utilities, such as natural gas pipelines.
But Tom, knowing what you do, and you're an MIT-trained mechanical engineer, you are a Harvard Business School graduate, you were a serious student of these matters, this sounds preposterous on its face. And obviously, this is not just a problem with the Russians. We're hearing a lot about Russian hacking at the moment, but the Iranians, the Chinese, the North Koreans, who knows who all else, maybe even the Islamic State are active in the cyber warfare domain, and they seem to all have figured out that our grid is a pretty prime target, haven't they?
Well, I think that that would certainly be true. It's an absurd situation. It really results from having the regulatory standards written by the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, which is an industry-governed body, in essence. They're governed by the vote of their membership, and most of their members are representatives of electric utilities. They set the standards.
Talk about the fox guarding the chicken coop. But
exactly.
This is one of the things that I'm sure most listeners to our program and in audiences beyond Tom Popick would find head-scratching. Why wouldn't the electric utilities want to make sure that their assets are protected, to say nothing of their customers, for crying out loud, all of us, against this kind of threat?
Because it's expensive to do cybersecurity correctly, and for many utilities, there's no mechanism for them to appropriately recover their costs for cybersecurity protection.
I see. So it's just a bottom line issue. Well, Tom, there's much more to talk about in terms of the attack environment. Notably, there have been reports that the Russians took down a big substation in Ukraine, that they've been fooling around with its financial sector and the pension funds there. But that's for another day. Let me just turn to sort of what's operational here. We have, of course, the Trump administration, hallelujah, coming to office a little later this month. Donald Trump, as you know, has made a very big point of his commitment to renewing America's infrastructure. I assume, Tom, that one of the things that is absolutely urgent is that resiliency be factored into and integrated throughout the improvements that are now in prospect. If you had the president-elect's ear, what would you be specifically recommending be done in this regard?
Well, the first thing, most urgently, is we need electromagnetic pulse protection. We have countries which currently could conduct an electromagnetic pulse attack with even just a singular nuclear weapon against the United States, and then we have emerging threats such as Iran and North Korea. I think that today's announcement via Twitter of President Trump was a welcome development in that he simply isn't going to permit North Korea to conduct an intercontinental ballistic missile test. And what's the danger of an ICBM from North Korea? Well, it's an electromagnetic pulse attack. Now, we could protect the electric grid against some of the most damaging aspects of EMP with very inexpensive devices that are commercially available that could be installed at 2,500 high-voltage transformer locations for a cost of less than $1 billion.
Tom Popick, you've done extraordinarily important work on this, and I hope that the administration will be heeding the recommendations you've put forward at the Foundation for Resilient Societies, and that, among other things, we'll see really fundamental structural reform in how this whole business is overseen and regulated. This is an area where it clearly is absolutely necessary to assure the resiliency, robustness of the grid that is our most critical of critical infrastructures. Keep up the good work, my friend, at the Foundation for Resilient Societies. Come back to us again very soon. Next up, we'll talk more about this ICBM threat from North Korea and what China is or is not doing with our friend and colleague Gordon Chang, right after this.